Lakuta Sichas Chelik Yud, Parsha Lech Lecha Sicha Aleph. This is also a Siyum on Masechta Rosh Hashanah, a summary of this Sicha. In our Parsha it says, Va'avorcha Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Va'avorcha Mevorachecha, though I will bless those who bless you. From this, the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says in Masechta Chulin, that when a Kayin benches the Yid, the Eibishter blesses the Kayanim in reward. Va'avorcha mevarachecha. Because the Kayanim bless the Jews, Hashem blesses the Kayanim. This is what the Gemara says there. It's actually a machloikis. The Gemara focuses on the pasuk in regards to Birchas Kayanim, where it says, you should kais avorcha as b'nei Yisrael. And then it says, va'ani avorachem. So the Rabbi Shmuel says, that from Kais of Aruch Hu's B'nai Yisrael, we know that the Kayanim will bless the Yidden, that the Yidden will be blessed. How do we know that the Kayanim will be blessed? It says, V'ani Avarachem, I, Hashem, will bless the Kayanim as well. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says that from the Pasuk, Kais of Aruch Hu, we know that the Kayanim bless, give a bracha to the Yidden. How do we know that the Eibishter gives the bracha to the Yidden as well? So it says, V'ani avarachem, that I, Hashem, will bless them, meaning the Yidden. So in other words, we need a pasuk to say that in addition to the Kayanim blessing the Yidden, Hashem blesses the Yidden. So then how do we know that the Kayanim will be blessed? That, Rabbi Kiva says, we learn from our parsha, V'avarachem avarachecha, that from this we know that because the Kayanim bless the Yidden, therefore Hashem blesses them. The Gemara concludes there that Rabbi Shmuel, who was himself a Kayan, therefore he assisted the Kayanim. He always did something to elevate the Kayanim. And the Gemara, how is it the Gemara asks that he's assisting the Kayanim? And he answers, because he places the bracha to the Kayanim together with the bracha to the Yidden. We learned them both from the psukim of Birchas Kayanim, whereas Rabbi Kiva learns it from a separate place, from a Va'avarcha Mevarachecha, that has nothing to do with specifically with Birchas Kayanim, so therefore somehow that is not the same, and Rabbi Shmuel placed the Kayanim together with the bracha of Birchas Kayanim for the Yid. So we have to understand a few things about this. First of all, why is it that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva disagree on the point of whether we need a pasuk to teach us that Hashem agrees with the bracha of the Kayanim, which Rabbi Kiva does require, and therefore he needs to rely on Va'avorcha Mevarachecha for the bracha for the Kayanim. Rabbi Shmuel says we don't need a pasuk to teach that Hashem agrees with the bracha of the Kayanim, and therefore that the word V'ani Avarachem is left to teach that the Kayanim themselves receive a bracha from Hashem. Also, what is the difference whether we learn that the Kayanim are blessed from Va'avorcha Mevarachecha, or that it comes from the pasuk v'ani avarachem within the context of Birchas Kayanim? What difference does it make? They get the blessed the bracha anyway, so why does it make a difference which pasuk we learn it from? So to begin the explanation, we know that there is a difference between receiving a bracha, or somebody giving someone a bracha, or somebody praying on somebody's behalf. The difference between bracha and tefillah. Bracha comes from the word a gathering, like brecha, which means a pool of water or a pool of blessing. The word bracha also is connected to the word hamavrich, which means someone who extends a root or a branch from one plant to another to create another plant. So it means to extend, to be mamshich, to extend something from one place to another. In other words, that a bracha is merely bringing something from one place. There is a gathering of blessing in the source of someone's, where his hashpah comes from. There is already allocated a certain amount. It's just a question of bringing it down into the physical reality. So a bracha can bring something which is already in existence into the reality. It's something within the context of ishtalshalus, and you can bring it down to the person's reality. A proof of this we can see from the fact, from the story of Yaakov and Menashe and Ephraim. What does it say? That Yaakov put his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Menashe, he made his hands crooked, he crossed them over, and Yosef protested because Menashe is older, and the answer was that Ephraim would be more blessed, and therefore he should get the right hand. The question is, since Yaakov is the one giving the blessing, why didn't he bless Menashe that he should be the greater one? Why does it have to be tied into the fact that Ephraim is the greater one? Make Menashe the greater one. He's the older one. The answer is that which was Yaakov was giving a bracha. A bracha means to extend, to bring down that which is already allocated for this person, and therefore Ephraim already was allocated a greater blessing, and Yaakov was merely bringing it down. Whereas when we come to tefillah, tefillah means that we create a new ratzin, yehi ratzin. May we create a new will of Hashem to give an additional type of hashpah. So it's not just that we are bringing forth something which is already within the context of ishtalshalos; we are bringing something from beyond ishtalshalos. Now, this difference between tefillah and bracha would apply, of course, only to a blessing or a prayer that is done by a human being, by a person. That therefore, would a bracha would be limited to what is already allocated. But when Hashem gives a bracha, of course, he's not limited by this limitation. He can, of course, give a bracha to bring forth something new as well. And the same would be true for Birchas Kohanim, because Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim do on behalf of Hashem. It is a mitzvah that they are filling their command, fulfilling the command of Hashem. So in other words, it's Hashem giving the bracha. And therefore, Birchas Kohanim is not limited to something which is already in, has been already allocated. We can see this also from what the Chachamim said, the Gemara says in regards to Birchas Kohanim. The words in the Torah are Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, which means he shall show favoritism to the Yidden. So the question is, how does Hashem show favoritism? And he answers, can I not show favoritism? They're so careful about fulfilling mitzvahs and so on, therefore I must show them favoritism. In other words, showing favoritism is necessary when there isn't already something which is being allocated. Showing favoritism means that I need to bring something new that was not there for them originally. So we see that the Birchas Kohanim is something which brings something from beyond Hishtalshul, something that wasn't allocated yet. Which explains the difference between receiving your bracha from the words V'ani Avarachem or receiving your bracha from Avarachem Avarachecha. If you receive it from V'ani Avarachem, Ani refers to Hashem without a name, meaning from the essence of Hashem, something beyond Ishtalshalos. So when you receive a bracha from there, you're receiving a bracha which comes from beyond Ishtalshalos. V'Avarachem Avarachecha, where it doesn't say the word V'ani. So therefore, that would be a more similar bracha to ordinary bracha, not connected to l'mayil m'sheder ishtalshalos. And therefore, when the kohanim received their bracha from V'ani Avarachem, it's a greater bracha, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel wanted a dafke from there, because as a kohen, he protected them by including them in the bracha from of V'ani Avarachem. But still, that leaves a question here, because even Vavarachem Avarachecha is also Hashem giving the bracha. And since Hashem is not limited by these differences between tefillah and bracha, and every bracha that comes from him comes from beyond Seder Shalshul, so then in the end, what's the difference anyway? So to understand this, we have to focus for a while on the Siyum, the end of Masecht Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara talks about, says, the Mishnah says, Ram Gamliel says that the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, can include, can be Maitzi, can fulfill by his davening those people that are unable to daven, the Rabbim, he can fulfill all those people as well. So Rav Shimon said that Rav Gamliel even included people that are out in the field, they're not even in shul. They live in the villages, they're unable to attend shul. He includes even them, that the Chazan is Maitzi them as well. Needless to say, the people that are in shul, that are listening to the davening. So the Gemara asks, Adarab, to the contrary, the ones that are not in shul, they have no choice. They're beyond, it's something beyond their ability to be able to do. They're out in the village, so they can daven there. But the people in the shul, let them daven themselves. Why do they have to be fulfilled by the chazan? And brings a raya, because we say by Birchas Kayanim that any Kayan, any Yisrael, any person that is behind the Kayanim is not included in the Bracha. Because a Bracha has to be Panim o Panim. If you're standing behind the Kayanim, you're excluded from the Bracha. But this exclusion only applies to people that are in the shul. If they're in the shul, then they have to stand in front of the Kayanim, or at least off to the side, but not behind. But people that are out in the fields, of course, they can't position themselves to be in front of the Kayanim. Therefore, all of them are included into the Kayanim. So we see that the people out in the field are less responsible, and therefore more included into what's going on. So therefore, the Gemara asks, if so, Rav Gamliel should also only include those who are out in the field, but not the people in the shul. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that Rav Gamliel indeed only included the people out in the fields, but the people in the shul, they have to do davening on their own. So from the fact that the Gemara compares the situation of tefillah to the situation of Birchas Kayanim, it's not simply a comparison that there are two things which share certain characteristics, but rather that these two things are very similar in the nature of what is going on. Because one could ask, how does the Gemara know that from the fact that the Kayanim, by Birchas Kayanim, if you're not included into the bracha unless you're standing in front of the Kayan, that's a proof that you wouldn't be included into the tefillah either? They're very different. One could say that they're very different. A bracha is dependent, since it's within Seder Shalshus, it's all dependent on you, on what you've accomplished, and therefore you have to do some sort of a preparation specifically to face the Kayan, or other preparations which are needed in order for the bracha to be chal, to apply to the yid. Whereas by tefillah, since it's coming from outside Seder Shalshul, so it doesn't depend so much on the activity or the preparation of the person down here. And therefore, from the fact that by Birchas Kayanim, you must stand in front of the Kayan, and if you don't, you're not included, it doesn't prove that by davening, the Shliach Tzibur can't fulfill you with the obligation, because it's talking about a completely different type of drawing down of flow, of Hashpah. So why is there a proof? So the fact is, though, that the Gemara does bring proof, and the reason is because, as we said before, bracha and tefillah are very similar by their nature, because bracha in this case comes from Hashem, and therefore it's also unlimited, and because it's unlimited, it should not need a preparation from the person down here. But since we see that it does, so therefore tefillah would also need a preparation, and therefore if there's a yid in the shul that is able to daven, the Shliach Tzibur won't fulfill him either. But in fact, we could say even more, that Birchas Kayanim not only is equal to tefillah, but it has even a greater degree of hashpah than tefillah itself. And this we could see from the fact that in order for a chazan to be able to fulfill the other people, and Amshe Besodis, the people out in the field, that's only if there are 9 people that are listening to the chazan and answering Amen. He has to have Tisha Shoimim in order to be considered a chazan, and only then would his tefillah fulfill people out in the field. By Birchas Kayanim, we don't have this limitation. If every single person in the shul is a Kayan, they can all duchen. Who are they blessing? They're blessing the people out in the field. In other words, they're not limited that they need some sort of listener in order for the bracha to be chal, to apply. And the reason for this difference is because there is a certain quality in bracha that there isn't in tefillah. And that is, bracha is someone commanding a blessing. In other words, that you can force this blessing, because the person giving the blessing is on a higher level than the hashpah that is coming down. By tefillah, you are a supplicant. You are asking, you're pleading. You don't know that what you're asking for is going to happen, because you are on a lower level than the bracha, the hashpah that you're asking for, and therefore you can only ask. Bracha means the person giving the bracha is on a higher level, which is the reason that bracha doesn't need anyone to be there to create this flow. The person giving the blessing has the power to give the, to create the flow. By tefillah, since it comes from below, you are on a lower level, therefore you have to have more preparation, 9 people agreeing and answering amen and so on, in order for it to apply. Which is the reason that the Gemara says that if by Birchas Kayanim, curt conditions need to be met. In other words, that the person cannot reject the bracha by standing behind the Kayanim. Therefore, in the shul, by tefillah too, certainly then by tefillah, which is on a lower level, you certainly need the people to be participating. And if there's somebody that is able to participate, he has to do it on his own, and the chazan cannot merely be maitzi, the people that know the davening are in shul. So that explains the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Based on this explanation, we can now explain the machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Whether, in other words, that their machlekes is whether the kohen, when he gives the bracha to the yidden, is he himself elevated to lemaila meseder hashtalshelus, which can give a bracha from out there and force that bracha downwards to the yidden, or does he not have that power? And that, based on that, is the reason why Rabbi Shmuel says that there's no need for a special pasuk to tell us that Hashem agrees with the bracha of the kohen, because they represent Hashem, and therefore they have that power invested in them. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you need the Eibishter to agree to that bracha, because they themselves don't have that power, the kohenim, because ultimately they are merely human beings, and therefore, although they are representing Hashem in this, but they still need Hashem's agreement in order for it to happen, and it wouldn't happen on their own. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says that when Hashem invests himself into the kohenim and it commands them to give the bracha, then they are elevated to that status, and therefore they don't need an additional agreement from Hashem. That's given by default. So based on this, we can understand the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says that since the bracha of the kohenim has to be from within Seder Hashtalshelus, because they don't have the power on their own to rise above it, so therefore their bracha, which comes as a result of their giving a bracha to the Yidden, since the bracha they gave is only from within Seder Hashtalshelus, therefore the bracha that they receive is also from within Seder Hashtalshelus, which is the reason that it comes from the pasuk Va'avorcha Mevarachecha, where there is no reference to Ani, which is the word that brings out the Lamayla Meseder Shtalshalos. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, he says that since the Kayanim on their own have the power to give a bracha from Lamayla Meseder Shtalshalos, therefore their bracha also comes from Lamayla Meseder Shtalshalos, and therefore comes from the Pasuk Bani Avorachem, which does refer to Lamayla Meseder Shtalshalos.